20. Be sure to join us for every pitch, every hit, every win of Rafter Baseball right here at WFHR.
Yes.
Seth, have a great weekend.
You too, man.
And we mean it this time, everybody.
We're going away now. Bye. Yeah.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. The latest jobs report is out. Bankrate.com's Mark Hamrick breaks it all down for us.
As employment reports go, this one was more of a mixed bag. On the one hand, payrolls growth was much stronger than expected in May with 339,000 jobs added. On the other hand, the unemployment rate rose 0.3 to 3.7%. You had an additional 440,000 people unemployed, with the total rising to 6.1 million.
The U.S. Senate was up late last night, passing a debt ceiling bill. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer was happy overall.
Of course, nobody got everything they wanted. There was give on both sides. But this agreement was a very good outcome.
What's good for some may not be good for others, like South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham.
I know in divided government is tough, but don't tell me that this is the best we could do.
The bill raises the debt ceiling and cuts federal spending. The agreement means there will be no default on the nation's debt. President Biden will address the debt ceiling when he speaks to the nation tonight at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Former President Donald Trump and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis are stumping in the early GOP primary states. CBS's Ed O'Keefe is in Iowa.
The Trump and DeSantis campaign sure are trying to set the two front runners apart from the rest of the pack. The former president was here in Iowa yesterday talking to voters, appearing last night on Fox News. While Governor DeSantis was up in New Hampshire, he's in South Carolina today, making his case.
Both Trump and DeSantis have been trading barbs at each other. They've also been downplaying Joe Biden's reelection efforts. A government audit has found that the U.S. agency charged with keeping the roads safe is slow to investigate automobile safety defects, limiting its ability to handle rapidly changing or severe safety risks.
The report comes as the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is trying to force a Tennessee company to recall nearly 70 million airbag inflators that could explode and hurl shrapnel at drivers and passengers. The agency sent a recall request letter to ARC Automotive Incorporated in April, but the company refused the recall in May.
CBS's Jim Krasula says at least two people in the U.S. and Canada have been killed after airbag inflators ruptured. Seven more have been injured. Good news if you have a sweet tooth. Today is your lucky day. Several donut chains are offering free donuts because today is National Donut Day.
Duck Donuts is giving away a free cinnamon donut, no purchase necessary, while Dunkin' will give any donut of your choice free with the purchase of a beverage. Krispy Kreme is also giving away any donut of your choice, no purchase necessary.
This is CBS News.
Eggland's Best. The only eggs with more fresh and delicious taste, plus superior nutrition, because the way we care is anything but ordinary. Only Eggland's Best.
I'm Dr. Stork. Eggs are a staple in our diets, and there's only one egg with more delicious farm fresh taste, plus superior nutrition. Eggland's Best. With more vitamins, including 6 times more vitamin D and 10 times more vitamin E, plus 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. Available in so many delicious varieties, classic, cage-free, and organic. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
I'm James, senior apparel designer, and this is Behind the Design with Blue Ranchwear. This is your true, unfiltered Western brand. There's a beauty in the simplicity of the product to be able to move, but still have that classic Western sensibility. Rigid out of the box, you put on your back and it just wears with you. Year after year of wearing the product, so it just becomes yours. Blue Ranchwear, only at Boot Barn.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered storms this afternoon, otherwise sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Highs around 90, winds out of the southeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight, lows dip down to about 61, partly cloudy skies. Mainly clear skies tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 92. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 77.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this June 2nd, 2023. It's 10:06 on the clock. Have your host, James J. here. At 10:30, we're to welcome in Christy Egge. She is with the Wood County Health Department. Looking forward to talking with her. We're going to talk with Representative Scott Krug in just a moment. I did want to let you guys know a programming note. This will be the final Morning Magazine in this time slot on Monday. Of course, Morning Magazine will be moving to the 3 o'clock spot, and it will be Midday Magazine. So keep that in mind. But for guests like Scott, you'll still be calling in at the same time. We'll still be recording it at the same time and everything. Scott, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing good here. You know, dealing with some changes and everything, of course, but that's life. You know a little bit something about that, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's the theme of the month for June. Not only is it dairy month in Wisconsin, it's everywhere, everything, all at the same time month for me. So
yeah, I can only imagine. And just to add to your plate, of course, overnight we had the debt bill ceiling, we're not going to have the default on this. That goes forward. Senate sends a debt ceiling legislation to President Biden's desk, where he is expected to sign it. Any takes from this right off the gate?
Well, you know, it's always interesting when you can finally get a bill that Mark Pocan and Ron Johnson agree on, or that Brian Stile and Tammy Baldwin agree on. So the voting was all the way across the board in Wisconsin for our reps. So it's always a nice thing when there's a mix of yeses and noes from both sides. So
I mentioned that this means, I think, arguably the biggest headline of this, no default on the national debt. That's certainly huge. Are there other things about this that maybe people that are just reading headlines or not, you know, getting too in-depth in this should know about this bill being passed?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, there's a clawback provision in there for a lot of the unspent COVID money that was originally thought to be allocated out to the states. So there's some implications for Wisconsin on some money that the feds had promised that might not materialize. So we're just keeping our eyes on that. Thankfully, we've got a sizable surplus here. We don't need to rely on federal COVID money, which is great. But yeah, there are some implications.
I don't think that anybody thinks that we can just stop spending. Our government can just stop spending, and that's going to, you know, solve everything, or, you know, the debt as far as that goes. But it does seem like all governments from the local levels on top are starting to be focused a lot more in on finance, a lot more in on the how much we're spending.
Well, and that should be the primary focus, right? And I say this all the time, is that I am in Madison to be a fiscal conservative. I am not in Madison to be a social dictator and decide who can do what in their home and how and when and all that stuff. I want to make sure that when the taxpayers send a dollar to the state of Wisconsin, it's being spent the best way it can. And if we don't need it, it's being sent back to the taxpayer as much as it can. So it is great to see that, because we can all agree on those fiscal issues, because we all manage our household budgets. We should all know that there are things that we can do and there are things that we can't do and things that we want to do. What those differences are. And that just harkens back to all of the things that we talk about, even the grade school kids and elementary kids and junior high. And we want to talk about financial literacy and making sure you set yourself on the right foot, and the implications of finances is what everything the legislatures and the state and federal level should be about, is finances.
Recently, you and your colleagues got a project completed that's 20 years in the making. I'd like to talk about that and how it affects communities.
Yeah, I mean, this is I finally got onto the local government committee this session, because, you know, being a county board supervisor here in Adams County, I I hear from my fellow supervisors and department heads, like, hey, you know, we need to get a better share of what we send to the state of Wisconsin. So in the shared revenue program, the formula had been frozen for over 20 years, and communities like, say the town of Big Flats, for example, have been frozen at a bottom level that just made it almost pointless for them to be in shared revenue, even though they sent it all to Madison and never came back. So this session finally tackled this project, and through the local government committee and hearings and a lot of negotiations, we finally got a bill through the assembly. It's still waiting in the Senate to move, and hopefully it will in the next couple of weeks. That will return all of those tax dollars that people send to Madison back to local governments to make decisions on local projects and local priorities. And I love this idea that we can finally put some more control into the hands of our local governments to make sure they're doing the things they need to do. And on top of that, it also invests heavily in public safety measures for our cities. It makes sure that, you know, and part of the bill is to deal with the Milwaukee pension problem that's existed for 35 years. And I said from the beginning of the session, there's going to be one big kumbaya bill that fixes a lot of problems. And I think the shared revenue bill is one of those bills.
It's pretty hard to find anybody on either side of the aisle too against this idea. I think of a lot of things like when it comes to this that are still regional. Baseball is still pretty regional. Radio is still pretty regional. There's no one size fits all for these things. Government, in its essence, should be regional.
Right. And I mean, that's the whole point of what, you know, Wisconsin has got many, many more layers of government than most other states, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why this shared revenue program is even more important, is because we want to make sure that individually our communities can make the right decisions, but we also have to keep an eye on the communities that aren't making the right decisions and help them, you know, and that's where some of the regulations in the bill come in, saying, hey, you know, you've got a problem here, but we don't want you doing this anymore. So there's a ton of negotiation that goes into a bill like this that you've got, you know, people that are leaders in Adams County agreeing with leaders who are in the city of Milwaukee on a bill, which I've never heard of, and I'm sure even some of my predecessors would say they haven't much heard of Adams County and the city of Milwaukee agreeing on a lot of bills.
Hmm. What does it mean to not only get, I'm certainly what it means to the communities for getting this passed, but what it must mean to have something that you all have been working on for so long to get this finally passed through?
Yeah, I mean, it sets up a great, you know, budget process that we're, you know, finishing up here in June that we've been working on in connection with some of these bill ideas, and the shared revenue funding will be part of the state budget. When we get the bill done with the policy side of it, now we put the money towards it in the budget side of it, and I think we finally found a way that the Republican legislature and the Democrat governor can find a way to work together, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it may not be all in one thing at the same time, but we found a path that we can do policy in one bill, funding in another, and we're going to agree on it in the end. So no doubt that by the time the Joint Finance Committee, you know, reworks the state budget and puts it out for a vote, I have no doubt the governor will sign it like he has the last two. So I think, you know, we're in a really smooth place and almost a complete 180 from where we were, you know, 3 years ago.
What do you think changed?
It's pressure from back home, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk to people around here, like, why can't you guys just get something done? I'm like, great idea, you know? I've preached that common sense should reign the day in Madison for a long time, and I think it finally is starting to grasp, in the upper level, saying, yeah, you know, people are kind of ticked off back home, that there's all this arguing and the headline chasing and all those types of things. They just want stuff done, especially when you've got close to a $7 billion projected surplus and there's needs in your communities. It's just time to put some things aside and to actually get your job done. So, and that's been the nice thing, is always telling people back home, hey, get back to your reps and senators and tell them what you want, tell them what you need, tell us how you think we can fix it. We're always open to those ideas, and I think it's finally come to the top of the heap that people just want problems solved.
Mm-hmm. I agree with your answer. I just like to piggyback off it and add to it. I wonder if job security also comes into play. Because as you touched on right in the beginning there, hey, a lot of people, a lot of constituents saying, hey, what's getting done? Nothing's getting done. You're not going to be able to keep your job as a politician if you don't get things done. And I would think that has part of it too.
Yeah, always does. And I mean, those are things that we always, you know, do tons of listening sessions for. We send out district surveys. We, you know, gather as much input as humanly possible. And now some of the people, because of the possible changes in districts because of the Supreme Court race, some of those seats that people thought may have been safer in some parts of the state, who may somehow feel a little more vulnerable, might be listening to constituents a little bit more. Mm. So, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. There are some people who, you know, just have to have that job, and they'll do what they can to make sure it happens. And if that means they're representing their constituent thoughts, that's a double bonus.
You know, and speaking of meeting with constituents, you and your staff did that recently, just the other day in Madison. You had some of our good friends and, you know, family members and stuff from the Adams Friendship School District by. What were you guys discussing? What was the conversation like?
Yeah, I think for Adams County in particular, in the discussion there is the school funding formula. You know, I mean, trying to get a grasp on how the legislature can come to the table and figure that one is the next biggest step. We finally did the shared revenue thing after 20 years. The school funding formula has been locked in for 35 some years. And school districts like Adams Friendship, Wild Rose, some of those smaller, more rural districts that I have are absolutely losers right now in the shared revenue formula because they're low income, high property value districts, meaning there's lots of tourism that comes to those districts, but not a lot of property tax driven by it, just more sales tax. And of course, schools are funded off the property tax levy. So when you have a income poor, property rich district, they keep losing year after year after year in the school funding formula. So we keep having these conversations with them, trying to figure out how to fix it in a way that's not going to hurt the people who are already winning. Because, of course, they're not going to give up their wins, especially their reps and senators. So that's always the conversation when we have folks from the Adams Friendship District over is, you know, how do we fix this formula so we don't keep losing 15% of our funding every state budget?
Yeah, on the surface, on paper especially, it's hard to wrap your mind around. We all understand that kids are the future. Kids are important. We need to make sure that we're taking care of our kids, our schools, our teachers, giving them the things they need to apply. But it seems like this is something we run into, if not every year, every couple of years.
It is, and that's one of the challenges. Like, you know, when I say there's winners and losers in that formula, it's really hard for those communities who are winners to say, I'd rather be on the equal side or the losing side, you know. So that's always the challenge when we adjust the school funding formula. So now, in the next week or two here, I've been working with State Rep Armstrong from the Rice Lake area on trying to help find a way to, I don't want to say fix the formula, but a way to tweak it that will allow these lower revenue districts to have a floor. Where, you know, at least we're going to keep you where you're at and you're not going to keep losing money in the state budget moving forward. So we're trying to set this floor for these, I think, 23-some districts in the state of Wisconsin out of 400. That are just locked into this perpetual losing cycle. So that's why we have those conversations with our school districts, so they can keep us informed on the boots on the ground perspective. And, you know, we always have to play devil's advocate on everything. And we do that with our school districts too, because declining enrollment is a massive problem, especially in central Wisconsin right now. So we're trying to figure out a way to keep those buildings open, even though there's less and less kids that are going through them. You look at Lincoln High School's graduating classes last week. It was in the, you know, 280-some, whereas when I graduated from Lincoln in the 90s, our graduating classes were 450, 480. So that impact is real. When there are that many less kids coming and we fund education per pupil, there's going to be less dollars. So that's why we have to try to keep our foot on the gas pedal for workforce development and all of these other things that will eventually end up helping our schools.
Along with that, you know, child care is one of the things that certainly can affect this as well. Any movement on that front? Anything being done or anything going on behind the scenes to address the child care situation?
Yeah, we just had a caucus on it last week when we were talking about upcoming priorities in the state budget. So it looks like the child care part of the budget for DCF, Department of Children and Families, will be up next week. So we're expecting some pretty major investments here. We're just not sure exactly where the Assembly and Senate are going to agree on it, but we know that the money's going to flow into that program and the SHARES program, which is a state-managed program for child care. We'll see exactly how it shakes out, but we had a pretty good lengthy discussion at caucus on how important it is to help people get off the sidelines by being able to get childcare slots for their kids so they can actually go back to work.
Hmm. Speaking with Wisconsin State Assembly District 72 Representative Scott Krug. And Scott, it's been a while since we've touched on this. The mill here in Wisconsin Rapids, any news on that?
No. That is just the craziest thing. So even working now in the Housing and Real Estate Committee, and we've been working on a lot of workforce housing issues on that committee, ideas have started popping up and then, you know, redevelopments of some of those things. And some of these big box retail stores, some of these big empty, you know, buildings that we have, like the mill buildings and things like that, looking at even repurposing those now. If you're not going to be able to get a company like Billerud, nobody can force them to do anything, and they're sure not going to. So how do we assuage them to at least turn over some control so we can solve some other problems if we're not going to be able to solve a manufacturing issue with it? So we're still hoping, waiting, reaching out, doing everything we can to get them to the table. I mean, there's been some brief conversations with congressional leaders in Billerud on some things, but there's just nothing coming out of them about what their future plans are and what could possibly happen. And I honestly, at this point, with the way it was shut down, the condition of some of the machines in that factory, I'm hard-pressed to say we're ever going to see 400 people making paper in, you know, number 16 building again. So it's a pretty dire situation trying to figure out how to get these foreign companies to relinquish some control. And it's even more frustrating looking back on how we had a bill to get a local company involved and we just couldn't get it across the finish line. So sometimes that is what it is, and you look to rebound in different directions. And I think we're doing really well, you know, in our tourism areas to help make up for some of those job losses and economic impacts. And so we always keep, and I'm glad that we took this chance to rework our economy around just the paper economy the last 15 years, because at some point it was going to come crashing down.
A phrase that I use all the time in radio, necessity is the mother of invention. You know, it's one of the more popular quotes of all time for a reason. It's forced us to, I think, not only put more into the, you know, into obviously tourism, but along with tourism, what's one of the things that brings people here? It's our lakes, it's our wildlife, it's our wooded areas, taking conservation more seriously and approaching that. Do you see that happening?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Joint Finance Committee, just 2 weeks ago, we just did the DNR section of the budget and the DATCAP portion of the budget, which is the farm and the DNR side working together, and put massive amounts of money into soil and water management programs to make sure that we can keep our lakes clean. Because, of course, like, I'm not busy enough, but I'm also in my lake district out here too. So, of course, I get to hear those perspectives and take that back. And those investments and time and energy and effort all pay off to help us get where we are. So, I mean, that's why we've spent the last 10 years on site-specific regulations for the Wisconsin River system to make sure Lake Peatonwell can be clean. That's why we've spent so much time on taking all of the money supposed to come to the CAFO program and reallocating it back into regulation for those things. So, there's 1,000 irons in the fire, and those exactly are the reasons why we're trying to make sure that we make those investments, we can start drawing people even more back to the state of Wisconsin to live, work, stay, and play.
Mm-hmm. Scott, you and I usually wrap up talking a little Brewers or, you know, Packers or Bucks or any of these teams and stuff in our local teams. And I do want to talk a little Brewers, but before we can get into anything too fun or about involving on the field, I have to talk about Rob Manfred a little bit in his comments. I want to journalistically let this out there right away. I'm not a fan of Rob Manfred, never have been. And it's comments like this is part of the reason why. And I'll just read his comment for those that did not hear it. I remain confident that the Brewers are a great asset for the fans here in Milwaukee, and that the government entities are going to find a way to fund the obligation that they agreed to when the ballpark was built, and that they're going to do it because it's good business. Manfred said this at a local press conference a couple of weeks ago. Along with that, he also led it on that he was basically putting pressure on the team and the owners to that he would threaten to move them or those kind of things if they weren't to do this. A similar thing is happening it did happen pretty much in Oakland with the A's. And I, for one, don't believe that there's any scenario where the Milwaukee Brewers are ever leaving Milwaukee. I don't think we're going to see that. I know that we're a little close to it in the state here, but even that being said, I got friends all over the country. I'm sure you do too. And I know that I know plenty of them that have a Brewer hat or have a friend or fans of players and things. I don't see this happening. But what is the likelihood of something like this? And what do you, as one of these politicians, not that you have a lot of sway in this, but when you hear these kind of things, it doesn't feel like anybody wins.
Well, okay, so here's the deal. So, like, I am the biggest Brewer fan in the state of Wisconsin, bar none, period. Nobody argue with me, period. I don't know. But I am also a state elected official that, as a member of the legislature and the body that actually owns the Brewers building. I mean, they don't own the building. The state owns the building, right? Mm-hmm. So the governor proposed us to spend some money to fix that building so we can continue leasing it. The Brewers had said, you know, we need your help to do that. I'm like, okay, so when Mark Anastasio bought this team for $300 million years ago, now it's valued at $2.6 billion, it put some skepticism in the mind of legislators that the Brewers can't afford to make the repairs to Miller Park. Part B is it really stunk of politics when Manfred decided to come step in and say that, well, I should say not Miller Park, AmFam Field, sorry. And when Manfred come to say that AmFam Field isn't up to standard. That really reeked of politics because I've been to Great American Ballpark. I've been to Wrigley Field. I love Wrigley Field, but you can't tell me that Wrigley Field is up to the standards that Manfred is talking that AmFam should be up to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to talk about stadiums across this country and risking franchises because their stadiums are not being kept to the standards of MLB, I think they need to start looking elsewhere before they start trying to threaten that the Brewers are going to somehow end up being relocated to San Antonio, which has been the talk and inside conversations. The owners, first of all, are not going to accept it, and the taxpayers of the state of Wisconsin are not just going to say, oh, well, Manfred said we need to spend $500 million. Let's do it.
Yeah. I appreciate the breakdown there, Scott. And I agree with you. There has to be a line in the sand, of course, but even with that, I don't see the team leaving or anything, but you can't let it be, people be pushed around either. You've got to have a standard. This is not the same as the Oakland situation. The Oakland situation, they're having a hard time. They've had a hard time filling that ballpark since the Bash Brothers. Very different in Milwaukee. And I am you talk about risking things. I'm risking losing my card with my family, card with Chicago, like being able to go back to my city and all that. But I completely agree with you, Scott. I've been to both stadiums, and it's not even close. I love Wrigley Field. Wrigley Field's an institution. It's awesome, but you want to talk about some, you know, a stadium that needs to do upgrades. You got to go, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours down to be able to really. Milwaukee is not where you need to be having that conversation. That field, that stadium, everybody that I know that's been there talks about how great it is, how family friendly it is. While also, you know, if you and I wanted to go catch a game, we could go have fun. It's just like we could with our families. There's other, like Camden Yards. They've been talking to the Brewers about things that they did to improve Camden Yards. So it not only seems like like you said, a political thing here a bit, but it also feels like starting a fire for no reason.
It really was, and it came out of left field. So, I mean, honestly, when the governor proposed this idea in the state budget, the Brewers hadn't even come to him yet. It was more direct conversation outside the Brewers organization. They understand they got to deal with this a little more delicately because of the past issues with funding for their stadium and the past issues with funding for sports stadiums everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they wanted to be a lot more delicate about it, and other forces are kind of forcing them to say more than they really want to. I think in the end, if they don't commit to extending the lease for the Brewers will be happy to keep the lease going, but there's going to have to be some investment from the Milwaukee area, not statewide, I don't think, to keep the Brewer Stadium up to par in some standard, not exactly what Manfred says he wants to do, but some standard upkeep. So,
In good news, the Brewers are a half game up on the Pirates. I don't know how they are, but they are.
The worst first place team ever. If they were in the AL East, they'd be 12 games behind and in last place. But they're not. They're in the NL Central, so we'll just keep riding first place for a while.
Yeah, you know, I mean, until the bats wake up a little bit better, and you know, you get to some people off the DL and everything. Why not? You know, if this is where they are right now, and they're not even at full capacity, it's not a bad sign.
Yeah, it's like a JV team. I tuned in the other day accidentally. I didn't know who half the guys playing were actually. I'm like, all right, whatever. Fine.
We're excited to have Rafter Baseball back as well. Next time we get together, maybe we can talk a little of that. Scott, I always appreciate the transparency, the time, the fun that we have talking together. If people want to reach out to you, want to find out more, or just talk to you more about some of the things we've discussed, how can they do that?
Yeah, cell phone's easiest. 715-323-3293.
You have a great weekend, Scott. We'll talk again next month.
You bet. Take care.
We'll be back with more Morning Magazine right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
It's not just about the barrels in construction. Highway projects are community investments. So do your part. Stay alert, eliminate distractions, and mind your speed. Every driver makes a difference. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Because when you travel in Wisconsin, you see what our beautiful state has to offer. And now, more than ever, you see the importance of the travel and tourism industry and the impact it has on our community's small businesses, infrastructure, and economy. Destination marketing organizations statewide are working diligently to generate the economic benefits tourism has to offer and ensure that tourism in Wisconsin recovers better than ever. Their work to drive visitation, book meetings and conventions, and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover Wisconsin, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. And you can do your part just by exploring Wisconsin yourselves or supporting your local destination marketing organization directly. To learn more about what Wisconsin's destination marketing organizations are doing, visit DestinationsWisconsin.com.
What's sponsored your favorite by Destinations thing about a good Wisconsin.
What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists in their own words.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered storms this afternoon, otherwise sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Highs around 90, winds out of the southeast 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight, lows dip down to about 61, partly cloudy skies. Mainly clear skies tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 92. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 77.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine, part two, and a final Morning Magazine episode, really, for like in its current inception, at least. We're speaking with Christy Egge right now, Wood County Health Department. And Christy is, of course, she is the Supervisor of Strategic Initiatives over there. I want to make sure to get your title right, Christy. It's a good title.
Thank you. It's a mouthful. Thank you.
How have you been?
Been doing well, thank you. How have you been?
Doing good. We're doing really well over here, and really good to hear that you guys are doing well over there. We are huge supporters and love our friends over at the Wood County Health Department, and appreciate that any chance we get to talk with you all. We're going to have some fun today, Christy. We're going to talk a little bit about the Wood County Farmers Market.
Absolutely. Everybody's favorite thing in Wisconsin Rapids, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so nice to have this back, certainly for being able to support our ag industry and our farmers, these vendors, but it also means summer's back, Christy. It means summer's back.
Absolutely. Summer and a time and place to meet up with other community members and a place, a destination, right? A place to go and meet local farmers and producers and buy great goods.
When it comes to the farmer's market, I think, you know, most anybody, even people new to the area, know what a farmer's market is. But let's break down what makes ours unique, if you don't mind, Christy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so the farmer's market that we're talking about is the Wisconsin Rapids Downtown Farmer's Market. And it is a market that we help to manage and coordinate at the health department at this time. But it's one where our vendors have a lot of say in what happens with the market, as well as the layout and a lot of the promotional aspects as well. In our market, we have mostly locally grown fruits and vegetables, but we also do have, you know, fresh cut flowers and baked goods. And one of our features that we love is that we bring in a lot of family friendly activities. So I know we'll talk more in detail about those, but that's something that it's a great way to draw folks in. And while they're enjoying the activities, they can purchase some great food to make for their family in the future.
Mm-hmm. The kind of things that are going to be purchasable down there, certainly, as you touched on, some great goods, but not just goods, but baked goods. There's going to be fruits and veggies, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a lot of vendors that grow their own produce locally and bring it down to the market for sale. We also have some great fresh flower vendors. And some, you know, we have some craft vendors as well. So if folks have something they need to pick up for a gift or just something for their own home, but we do have a variety of growers and vendors. And the nice thing about our market is we have it open 2 days a week. So it's both Thursdays and Saturdays. And the first, our market opens this year on June 15th. So yeah, we're giving you guys a heads up on the coming opening of the market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little bit of a preview of what's to come. You mentioned vendors. Do you have enough vendors? Are you going to be looking for more vendors, or do you have the ability to accept more vendors?
We do have a lot of vendors. However, we always accept more vendors. Folks can fill out an application and they can vend for the whole season. But we also have the ability and opportunity for vendors to do drop-in slots. And so they can reach out to the health department and we can help them. You know, we can help them ahead of time, or if they come, you know, even the day of, we can help folks get set up. You know, there's a very nominal fee for, a day of vending, or if you're only going to vend for a day. And then for the whole season, it's really inexpensive as well. But you do have both options. So if someone's out there thinking, hey, I still want to vend at the market, you do still have time. We do take applications on a rolling basis, although most of our vendors are already locked in for the year. So that makes us happy to know we've got a lot of vendors coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. I mean, you know, it never gets lost on our community, or I think any of us, how much this helps our farming industry, our ag industry. So any opportunity to do that, along with getting some really good produce, ain't a bad deal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the things, you know, so our market is from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. both on Thursdays and Saturdays. But before we dive more into more details of the market, it is a huge economic piece for our community, for our local community. You know, folks come downtown to the market. The market is located, just to give everyone, in case you haven't ever been to the market is located on First Avenue South, and it's between West Grand Avenue and Goggin Street. So if you know where, like, right along the river, you know, by the River Block building, the Tribune building, the new park area, that's where the market is. And it does bring a lot of people downtown. And while they're down there, they shop at the market, and they also pop in at, you know, the local coffee shop or the trading post. And it is just a great thing for the community. We also, and the nice thing too on Thursdays is we pair, I think, very, very nicely with Lunch by the River. So folks go down to Lunch by the River, which started, I think, yesterday.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we see a ton of folks walking across the bridge and coming to the market, which is just it's such a beautiful thing to see people downtown exploring their community and really supporting local vendors.
Yeah, it's such a great point to bring up, Christy, about the impact these farmers markets have on communities economically. So much focus goes on that nowadays of how to create revenue, how to make, you know, how do we bring in new businesses and these kind of things. And here with our farmers market, we do that every season. We mm-hmm. have that happen. And it is a big impact. You talk to any business that is in Rapids. I mean, certainly ones that are near the farmers market, but just any business in Rapids, period. And there are people that travel like from farmers markets. They'll go to check out the one in Point, go check out the one in Nakusa, and they'll come to this one. And this is local people, but people like from maybe a town or two over. That stuff really adds to a community.
It really does. And, you know, the other cool thing in a community of our size, especially, you get to know your farmers. And you know, they talk a lot about not only is it good for the footprint of like from a sustainability perspective, but knowing your local farmer, knowing their agricultural practices, you know, knowing that what you bought is freshly picked and it was ripe when it was picked and it wasn't something that was ripened, you know, in some sort of truck with a bunch of different gases. I mean, there's a lot of value to just, you know, having a relationship with people who are growing your food. And they can share too, if there's unique food items, how to use those items, how to cook with them or bake with them. And really it does just add to the community. You know, it adds just to the whole feel of the community of the market too.
Yeah, and speaking of that, and you touched on this a little bit right in the beginning, Christy, I think one of the best thing about farmers markets and events like this is those organic meetings, those and no pun intended, I suppose, mentioning farmers market. But those chance encounters, you run into somebody you haven't talked to in a while, or even somebody that you talk to online or on the phone a lot, but you don't get to see in person very often. I love that. It's one of my favorite things about these kind of events. And that's something that's certainly a highlight as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is. And it's you know, in this day and age, folks are busy. People connect a lot through, you know, their phones and different things like that. And this really pushes you to connect in person again, which is such a nice, an important part of, you know, our lives, of our health, of our mental mm-hmm. health. It's getting people less socially isolated. You know, it cuts across so many different health, you know, different types of health things that we mm-hmm. care about at the health department, right? And so it is really an important part of our community.
We're going to take a break.
Go ahead.
We're going to take a break in a moment, but before we do, I'd like to talk about the ways people can pay for their goods, the types of payment accepted at the farmer's market.
Yes, thank you. So, you know, Wisconsin Rapids Downtown Farmer's Market is unique in the sense of that we accept a wide variety of currency. So most people think of a farmer's market and they think, I have to have cash, otherwise I can't purchase my goods. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you that's just not the case anymore. In Wisconsin Rapids anyways, you can come and you can use your debit card or your credit card, and you can come to the farmer's market management booth. While there, you can swipe your card and you'll get these wooden tokens that you can shop with. So you can get those in any increments, right? So before we had this option, maybe if I only had $10 or $20, that's all I could spend, even though I wanted to buy more produce. Mm-hmm. Now you can take out as much money as you want in those tokens. And we do have a $1 service charge for that. It allows us to be able to have the machine there. But it's just a great thing for folks who don't carry cash, like myself, rarely carry cash anymore. It's nice to know I can still come there. I can still, you know, purchase, you know, some of the from some of the food vendors as well, and all of the growers. We also have the ability, of course, to process cash. All of our markets, all of our vendors take cash, but many of our vendors also take WIC checks. So our women, infant, children, they get vouchers for coming to the market. There's a fruit and veggie RX program or prescription program through Aspirus, and we accept that as well. And then we also accept senior farmer market vouchers and EBT or food share, which is a great thing. So a lot of folks don't realize, but you can use food share dollars at the farmer's market. And it's a great way to really stretch your dollar. You can get food really inexpensively at the market with your food share dollars or EBT dollars.
And we talk so much about wanting Americans to eat healthier and be healthier. And, you know, oftentimes those types of foods can cost more. At a farmer's market, you're getting the more bang for your buck, if you will, as Christy's mentioning there. Not only your healthier foods, but you're getting so much more value out of these, too. And it's not only cool for that, but this is the greatest farmer's market in the world to me, because as a kid, I grew up, you know, on a lot of these programs, and we couldn't do these things. It's such a new day now where we're able to do this stuff for people that are in those positions. That's groundbreaking to me. That's amazing. And it never gets old, no matter how many times we talk about it. These senior farmer's market vouchers are just as awesome and cool to me as well. Can we touch on that just for a moment, just for people that may not know the details of how to get those and what those are?
Absolutely, yeah. So the senior farmers market vouchers are something you can get through the Aging and Disability Resource Center or through the Senior Center. You can get linked up to that. So, you know, it's a really simple process. There are criteria or eligibility for that, but folks through those organizations can help you through that process. Mm-hmm. And then you're able to utilize, you know, those vouchers in a number of different capacities, but one of which is our market. And like I said, not a lot of markets across the state accept all of these forms of currency, but our goal is really to increase access to local, fresh and healthy foods to all people in our community, regardless of income, regardless of, you know, ways to pay. And so that's a great way. And there's a similar process for WIC, and right? And so you can, if you're eligible for the WIC program, you're able to, you know, connect to the health department and we get you signed up to get those WIC vouchers as well.
Oh, Christy is so good, everybody. That wasn't even her department, and she hit that out the park. Nicely done. That was a curveball. Nicely done, Christy. Thank you for that. I appreciate the information. We're speaking with Christy Egge, our friends from the Wood County Health Department. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and we're going to tell you about some of the friendly family activities that are going on at this year's Farmers Market here on Morning Magazine at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
Here's what's happening. WFHR Community Calendar is brought to you by Something Sweet, Swiftwater Ice Cream. Enjoy the guilt-free, no-fat, no-sugar scooped ice cream and the 32 flavors of Cedar Crest. And don't forget, they're made-to-order appetizers. It'll leave your taste buds dancing. Family-owned and operated and open daily from noon until 9 p.m. Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, or find them on Facebook.
Visit the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center Friday, June 2nd to see the Charlie and Howard duo at their first Music on the Patio event. Tickets are $10 and include one drink ticket. Kids 12 and under are free. Seating is limited, so plan to bring a lawn chair. Visit the Southwood County Historical Museum on the opening day of the Navajo Code Talkers exhibition with a presentation by their military historian William Parker on Sunday, June 4th from 2 to 4 p.m. This exhibit is free and open to the public on Sundays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. starting June 4th through June 29th.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages,
start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're serious comedy to start your day.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered thunderstorms this afternoon, otherwise partly cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 90, winds out of the southeast 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered storms tonight, lows dip down to about 61, partly cloudy skies. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 92. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 79.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Welcome back to Morning Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We're speaking with Christy Egge. She is with the Wood County Health Department. We're talking about the Wood County Farmers Market, which is premiering on Thursday, June 15th from 8 to 2. Looking forward to this. It's right around the corner, Christy. We're very excited about it.
Yes, us too. We can't wait. We've been counting down the days.
I was mentioning earlier that our farmer's market tends to be a little more unique than your average farmer's market. And part of the greatness of that is, of course, the people first and foremost. And right next to that is these family-friendly activities that go on at our farmer's market. And we got one kicking off right in the first day on June 15th.
We sure do. We have a lot of folks will recognize iHeart Studios in the community, and they are doing some fun sidewalk talk art, and that's going to be happening from 10 till 2. And so folks that come to the market are going to have the opportunity to learn how to do sidewalk chalk art, and there'll be a lot of art already being done and left for the whole day. We also have go ahead.
I was just going to say, you talk about bringing out the kid and everybody, getting to do some sidewalk chalk. Like, that's the first thing I think of. Like, just be getting to get down there and have some fun.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, there's the neat thing is, too, there's oftentimes paired with Cranberry Blossom Days or other days, there's sidewalk chalk art events. And so folks can learn and use it in the future. You know, people love art. And there's a lot of sidewalks and a lot of places to use that chalk in our community.
Yeah, and that's not all that's going to be there. That'll be from 10 to 2, but you got another event from 9 to 1.
We do, yes. Another local favorite is KC Twist Balloon Creations, and they will be there from 9 to 1. So it's just a great thing for families to come down and be able to have both those options on that first opening day, everyone loving summer, just being out and about. And so balloons and chalk. Doesn't get much better than that.
No, that's a perfect combination. Saturday, June 24th, got a really great act coming down.
We do. We have the Lincoln High School Mariachi Band performing for all of us.
It's a great group of kids. They do such an amazing job with that. That is going to be a lot of fun. I see Safe Kids of Wood and Clark Counties is with this as well.
They will be down there as well on the 24th and offering helmets and other safe, other information on how to keep your kids safe, how to, as a child, be safe from falls and different things like that. So, yeah, they'll be down there as well.
Yeah, summer. Summer is time for a lot of things, including scraped knees and stuff like that. So, great to have. That's a great idea to have them down there.
Absolutely. Yep.
Bringing back another great one on Thursday, June 29th.
Yeah, that's our balloon creation, KC Twist. They're coming back again, and they'll be there multiple times throughout the season. So something to remember when you come down and, you know, your kiddos are excited to get a balloon, just remember that that's not the only time. There'll be many times throughout the season that they can come and still get a balloon creation.
Kids start thinking of animals now. It's a good idea. Get those animals ready for the test KC and them, and it's going to be fun. And just as Christy is mentioning, the KC Twist Balloon Creations are going to be there Thursday, the June 29th, Saturday, July 1st, and Thursday, July 6th, as well as other times. But moving ahead to July 6th, I also have our friends from 4-H with their foodie class down there. We were just talking to Laura this week a little bit about this.
Yeah, we're really excited about that. They're new to the market this year, and it's something that many markets do, where there's an opportunity to help showcase the foods of the market, help folks learn about them, and having an organization there to really take the reins with that is going to be incredible. So we're really excited. They're going to be coming to the market throughout the season as well. So, you know, coming early in July, then coming later on throughout the season and the summer in July as well.
We want, these events to certainly be family friendly, and that first and foremost means kid friendly as well. And that's important. But, you know, Christy, when you and I were talking about the economic impact on our community, we also, you and I and many others, and especially our friends at the Wood County Health Department, talk about mental health a lot and different things involving that. One of the things that is involved in on that, you know, tapestry is empathy. And creating more of that in our society and more of that in our youth. And I got to say that having these events, having kids coming to these events and wanting to come to these events, they look at a farmer's market as a fun thing. They look at it as a good thing. They're going to grow up and they're going to want to go to farmer's markets as adults. They're going to bring their kids to farmer's markets. And that, when we're talking about farmers, we're talking about ag industry and these things, we can't have enough empathy for that. And I love that this is also kind of one of those underlying things that's going on with this.
Absolutely. I'm so glad that you brought that up. You know, that there's, I've seen in the past where teachers may ask, you know, kids in their classroom, like, where food comes from. And, you know, there's an answer that comes out, like, the grocery store, the restaurant, you know, things like that, which, okay, yes, absolutely, food does come from those places. But, you know, really at the absolute core of where food comes from, it's our local farmers. And so much a place where you can go and you can be connected and you can feel a sense of belonging in your community is so key to improving mental health, right? It's building those relationships. You know, there's research that shows that when people are socially connected, that they're just naturally happier. And a farmer's market creates a sense of community among customers. It helps with interactions between community members and vendors and contributing to building social capital just within the community overall. So people who shop at a farmer's market have 10 times more conversations when shopping at a farmer's market compared to shopping at a supermarket, which is really interesting, right?
Yeah.
10 times more conversations. And research shows that people greatly appreciate that shared sense of connectedness and that these conversations at the farmer's market, that they look forward to them, that they go because they remember someone they've bought food from and they want to go back and they want to thank them or tell them how good it was after they made it. And so people really value that. They value the relationships that are built. There's just so much research. There's another study that found that 28% of participants believe that the greatest benefit to the community of their local farmers market is that it brings people together. Just that. Brings people together. You know, any time there's an opportunity for us to come together as a community, it's going to be good. And there's studies to prove that. And if you went down to the market, when you go on the 15th or that Thursday or a Saturday or any of the following Thursdays or Saturdays, you're going to feel good. You're going to see how incredible it is to have all these people together, all these goods available in our community. And it's just going to feel great. It's going to improve our community health overall and individuals' health overall.
Very well said, and really interesting stats there, Christy. Thank you for that. Saturday, mm-hmm. July 8th, iHeart Art Studios are coming back with some face painting.
Yes, another fan favorite, mm-hmm. face painting. Everybody loves that. There's typically a line quite long at the farmer's mm-hmm. market. We're very excited for that as well.
Thursday, July 13th, we bring back the Lincoln High School Mariachi Band for a performance and also going to have another group of people there.
Yeah, we're going to be having some farmers market tours that day with our friends from Foodwise, which they're a UW Extension affiliation. And again, it's having an external partner that comes in that brings folks down, helps them navigate and understand how do you shop at a local farmers market. I mean, it can be daunting if you've never done that before. You know, and I talk about the different forms of currency. Most folks, you know, have thought in the past, have to use cash, but there's a whole nother process involved in getting that tour, learning about that from somebody that has the knowledge that can share. It just makes shopping easier at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. We see that the 4-H foodie class will also be there on the 13th. Looking at the 15th and 20th, you've got the KC Twist Balloon Creations coming back on those dates, the Saturday and Thursday respectively. And with that Thursday date, you'll have the 4-H foodie class back.
Yep.
That's going to be fun.
Foodie class will be back. They'll be back, yep, and WIC. So if you missed, I mean, the nice thing about this is we really tried to layer in the activities where if you missed one of them, you know, because you're out of town or because something else came up, there's going to be another opportunity to engage. And that was intentionality behind that.
Mm-hmm. Thursday, July 27th, this looks so amazing to me, 4-H Cardboard Arcade. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Yes, we're so excited. So there's a group of 4-Hers who created these incredible games with cardboard. So barring no rain, they are bringing them to share with everyone. And they've made some incredible creations. We are really, really excited about this. So this is one I wouldn't miss if you're around, because you're going to see some amazing creativity that happened. And then everyone's going to get to play these games for free, which is really cool. So.
Yeah, really, absolutely. Really excited about this. This is going to be a really fun one. That's a great idea. And it's mm-hmm. It's been such a great idea to incorporate 4-H and these other organizations with this event. We're stronger together, no matter what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And it really, like, having this all laid out for us right here with you, Christy, really tells us that, really speaks to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have events planned for the first the first couple of months, and we're still working on planning, and we have some plans too for August and some September and October. The market does run through October, and so we don't want to put too much out for folks. It can be really overwhelming to know things, you know, too far in advance, and plus we have folks still coming in. So there'll be more information. We have a Facebook page, so Wisconsin Rapids Downtown Farmers Market Facebook page. We'll be posting and updating, you know, daily market pictures as well as the events, so we'll make sure folks are keeping up to date on all of them. And then we'll also be featuring our local vendors, our local farmers. You can have an idea about what different, you know, what kind of different products are available. And new this year, we do have a couple new food vendors coming. So we're going to have some exciting, you know, a lot of folks have come down for the egg rolls. There's a lot of great prepared foods people come down to eat. Like I said, along with the Lunch by the River. But we have a couple new items. So be sure to come check them out and you know, get a taste of what the newness is and what some of the exciting things are.
Christy, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you. And we hope to see everyone at the farmers market this year.
We're going to see you there. Have a great weekend.